Welcome to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. Journey with us as we discuss the life of a gentleman and how we can gain more respect and confidence with lessons in life, etiquette, and personal style. Each week, we will bring engaging discussions, thought-provoking interviews, and tips on upgrading your personal style. We are all a work in progress. Let's take this journey together. Let's live the life of a gentleman. Welcome back, everyone, to another edition of the Life of a Gentleman podcast. And today I have the special honor of bringing in a new voice. And also, before I do that, let me make a special announcement just to remind everyone. As a free gift, you can get a free copy of The Life of a Gentleman, the ebook or the audiobook, by simply going to Harrison Blake Apparel, going to the blog and choosing your download version of that book. That is our free gift to you, and thank you for listening. Well, without any further ado, we want to welcome in a new voice to the show. His name is Dejan. He will be joining us from time to time on different segments and chiming in. And Dejan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. And now, before we get started, let's get to know you just a little bit. We'll ask you if you could let us know a little bit about yourself, what you do, and who you are.
Well, my name's Dejan. I'm based out of Sacramento, California. My Instagram, well, of course, is The Gentleman's Podcast. I run it. I love it. Pretty awesome. I do photography. That's like my passion. I love fashion also.
All right, great. Yeah, so an eye for fashion and photography. It's great to have you on the team. It's great to have you on board. And I must say, you're doing a great job running the all-new Instagram for us. We appreciate that. Yeah. Let's dive into today's topic. You know, I thought we'd talk about building a personal brand because that's very important these days, especially in fashion. You have to think about how you present yourself to the world. So why don't you kick us off with your thoughts about that and the importance of it?
Well, I mean, to build your own personal brand, you just have to make yourself stand out, but you have to stand out in a certain way. When people look at your profile, what do you want them to see? Do you want them to see that you're professional, you act right, or do you want them to look at you like, oh, well, he's just a wannabe artist, he's a wannabe this, he's a wannabe that? So that's a big thing when you look at Instagram. You know, it really shows how you are, if you're humble or if you're not, if you're professional or if you're not professional. I mean, that's really a key thing.
That's a good point you brought up. The thing that comes to my mind when you say think about what you're doing on there is there's a difference between a professional and an amateur. You know what I mean? Like, For instance, if you are trying to advance your career in some way, you need to have a professional page. If you want to be on there telling jokes, having fun, being non-professional, if you will, then maybe you need to have a personal page. So Instagram actually allows you to have two different pages or multiple pages. So you might want to separate the two, because if you want people to take you serious, if you're a photographer, a stylist, whatever it may be, sometimes when you blend the personal with it, it looks kind of weird.
When it really comes down to how you present yourself, I mean, that's key to everything. When you look at these big Instagrams with like 450,000 followers and they're dressed in suits and, you know, but you look at their story and they're even on their story, it's professional, you know? It's not like on their story they're acting a fool. You don't see them doing that. You see them still acting classy, acting professional. Instagram, social media is really a key to either breaking you or making you successful.
You're exactly right. It's true that people kind of tend to judge you a lot of times, you know, based off what they see. Like you said, if you're on there doing things that are foolish or kind of juvenile or immature, and then at the same time, you're creating a post where you're trying to get people to click a link to maybe go to a website to pay you for a service or a product, it's sending a mixed message to the consumer. And I think people are going to tend to stay away from those that look amateur rather than somebody who is professional, classy, 100% of the time.
Yeah, you're so right. It's really like, wow, when you see somebody who, you know, wants you to do something, and then you look at their profile, and it's the most amateur profile, especially when it comes to photography. That's like a main thing. Like, when you look at my profile stays professional always, no matter what I'm doing. It always has to be a part of my Instagram of some sort. It has to, like, my personal, I do a blog, so it always has to go in line with my blog, because that's what people like. People like to see that.
Yeah, it's hard to understand why people think they're going to be successful in, you know, landing accounts or getting clients when their page is not professional. But we've kind of talked about that a little bit. Let's transition into giving a few tips before we go. And I'll start with the first tip. The first tip that I'd like to give is for everyone to remember the purpose of their social media account. Remember and think about, is this for business or is this for pleasure? There's nothing wrong with showing a little personality with your social media, but you have to be careful, because there's that fine line you cross when you end up not looking professional and start to look like a clown.
Another good tip would be, if you're going to make your profile, stay with it, because that's the hardest thing, you know, especially if you're a blogger. Stay with your theme. Don't go off, so don't just start with suit, and next thing you know, you're doing fitness wear out of the blue. Stick with the theme, you know? Or if you're going to do suit, do all clothing. Spread it out. Don't do all suits, and then next thing you know, you're just doing all fitness wear. It looks strange. Maybe go back to back. Maybe do suits, fitness wear. People will be expecting that, instead of you just doing suits and then dropping a whole new line.
That makes sense. And my last tip is kind of similar to a few things that you mentioned, and that would be to stay consistent. And what I mean by consistent is to not give up, because a lot of people don't see the success that they want overnight, and they have to understand and realize that you have to put in the work every day for years sometimes before that success starts to pay off. So stick with it. If you're out there listening, don't give up. That success that you want might be right around the corner.
That's so true. I mean, that took my tip too. I mean, that's a good one. Just stick with it. Keep going. Don't stop. Just over time, you will see. And also, meet people. Go look around. Look, find out what your city's doing. Be there. Be social. Go to events that people put on. Like in Sacramento, they're always putting events on. Go there. Meet some folks. If you want your Instagram to build up, meet people. You have to spread your own rep. You have to spread that everywhere. I mean, if you don't have any rep, then what do you think's gonna happen? I mean, you can't just make it famous by you just posting a picture and having zero followers. That's not gonna happen. You have to meet people, and those people then maybe take a picture with those people, and then it's just all about connection. Get connection. That's the main thing. Get connection. Meet a bunch of people, get on their Instagram, then next thing you know, their people will see you, and then they'll want to follow you, and then just keep connecting with people. I mean, that's it.
Yeah, that's a great final tip. Yeah, I like that one, because that's the whole point of it all. You're your own PR rep at the beginning, and you have to get out and meet people. Stay consistent with it, like we said. Stay professional. And I think we covered a lot of ground here, helping people with their social media and building a personal brand. And Dejan, I know this was your first time on there, so we appreciate you joining us. Hopefully you'll join us again.
Thanks.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hey, I totally will. Totally will.
All right, and if you want, leave us that social media again so people can get in touch with you. And
so it's at Gentleman's Podcast. And then if you want my personal, then it's at @DejanHopkins_.
All right, well, we appreciate it, and thanks for joining us today on the show. And we look forward to having you on again in the future. But until then, take care.
Hey, everybody, it's DeAndre Marie, the producer of The Life of a Gentleman, and I have a great deal to offer you. You can save more than 25% off handmade Italian leather shoes. I'm talking monk straps, brogues, loafers, and more. If you want to learn how you can save more than 25% on these great quality shoes, please go to www.itsdeandremarie.com and click on Bespoken Mogul Shoes in the menu bar. And make sure you stay tuned into The Life of a Gentleman.
Welcome back to another edition of Survey Says, where we dig into a survey and talk about some of the results that we see from, you know, magazines like GQ, Esquire, newspapers, articles, anything we come across online, and kind of dig in and give our take and our spin on it. Because a lot of times these statistics really were some eye openers for us. Right now, though, I'm joined by Deandra. How's it going?
I'm doing really well, Rich. How are you?
I'm doing good today. The weather's getting better and better, so I can't complain.
Yeah, I mean, it's been cold for so long. I can't wait to feel some warm weather.
Yeah. You know, speaking of warm weather, it's probably about that time that we can put away the heavy sweaters and the overcoats. But that kind of brings me to the subject of the survey today. All right, check this out. It says 85% of men who had been clothes shopping recently said that they dress primarily for comfort, but they'd be willing to step out of their comfort zone if they were better educated about what styles look better on them. And then also at the same time, it says that 17% of these same guys, last time they got new clothes, it was selected by someone else, so they didn't even pick it out. So this survey is leading me to believe that there's guys that want to dress better, but they don't know how, and they're kind of waiting for their significant other or someone to pick out the clothes for them. What do you think about that?
I am not really surprised at that. You know, it reminds me of when we did our feedback on skincare. You know, if you're not really educated or too sure about something, you may not be willing to step up and step out of your comfort zone. Also, if you're looking to go from more chill wear to a suit or, you know, a button up and some nice slacks or something, now you're talking, you're probably going to be spending some more money than you're used to spending. So I think that when you know you have to spend more money, you want to be extra careful and make sure that what you're buying is worth it. And if you don't have the, you know, I guess proper knowledge of what to buy or what to pair with what, then you're not going to be willing to actually spend the money.
Yeah, the crazy thing is, though, these guys, I mean, it sounds like they're willing to spend the money, but they're kind of lost. And I don't know if it's better to have somebody pick it out for you or just go out there and wing it. Because, I mean, if you want to step up your style, there's all kinds of stuff online, like YouTube videos, podcasts like this, websites. But the fact that 17% of these guys, that's almost, you know, one-fifth, are having somebody pick it out for them, I couldn't kind of wrap my head around that. I was a bit surprised that grown men are still having people pick out their clothes.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that, you know, sometimes when someone else gets it for you, because they may know, oh, well, he will probably like this or something like that, that they trust their judgment as well. Because maybe you trust someone else's judgment rather than your own when it comes to style. I understand that. At the same time, though, I think that you are the only one that knows your style the best. So I do think if you are going to step outside of your comfort zone, you really should be the one to buy that first outfit.
Yeah, I think so too. There's nothing wrong with getting a little help, but I think you should at least go along with and be involved, because how else are you going to get better at it? You know, if you just stay on the sidelines.
No, yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. You know, that's why we get the surveys from GQ. That's why we get some of these surveys from Esquire and other, you know, fashion websites and magazines, is because they also have tips on how to dress, you know. And a lot of these fashion magazines have different ways to dress depending on your style. Not everyone's style is button up and tie. Is it always casual? No, it may not always be casual, but there's definitely different looks that one could do, but only you would know which look would be best for you.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I'm thinking, since this seems to be an issue, let's try to give a couple solutions, because obviously there's some guys out there struggling with it. So I'm thinking we each give a tip for the guy who, like they said in the survey, wants to step up their style but is a little bit lost and is kind of relying on other people to help him. What would you say would be one of the things you could do to try to achieve this on your own, or to at least be a little bit more independent or involved with the process of upgrading your style?
My tip would be pick one item that would be outside of your comfort zone. Instead of getting an entire outfit that's probably outside of your comfort zone, pick one item. Maybe your item is a bow tie. Maybe your item is a pair of, you know, monk strap shoes, or even boots or ripped jeans. I don't know. But whatever it is, if you're a little apprehensive, pick one item that would be on your, you know, stepping up, stepping out outfit, and then try to build something around it. And I think if you mix your kind of stepping outside my comfort zone with your casual outfit that you're already used to wearing, you feel more comfortable in it, because, I mean, we've spoke on past episodes, confidence plays a huge role. And then you may hear the compliments like, wow, those are some nice boots, you know, and then it'll increase your confidence even more to start adding to that, you know, stepping outside my comfort zone outfit.
Yeah, I like your tip. You're kind of like baby steps. Go ahead, just do a little bit at a time. That's cool. Instead of just, you know, one minute you're the guy that's like got on some joggers, and then the next minute you step out in like a three-piece suit. That'll just shock everybody. So I like your tip. That's a good one. I think, you know, the tip that I'll give, and I'm sure that each of us could probably give more than one, but it's such a big subject. But for me, I'm thinking YouTube tutorials. And you can go on there and you can see guys that have all different kinds of style. No matter what direction you're trying to go in, if you're trying to go preppy, if you're trying to go urban, modern, edgy, whatever it is, you know, even a street look, there's tutorials on there that quote unquote experts to show you how to piece together looks, even where to get the jeans, where to get the shirt, the blazers, whatever you're trying to look for. I would go on there, you know, find a style that kind of fits you. Usually the well-seasoned gentleman, per se, kind of has their own little style. So once you find the style that's right for you, you can kind of go with that and kind of stay in that lane. Not to say you can't switch it up, but if you go on YouTube, find a style that works for you and go for that, you know, go for that kind of look. And that could be your signature look. That's my tip.
I definitely think that's a great tip. You know, definitely do your research if you have no idea what you're trying to, you know, what look you're trying to go for. That's definitely a great tip. And then once you find it, you know, we can combine our tips here, you know, and then once you do your research, you can start by buying that one part of your outfit and adding to it. And then, you know, over time, you add more and more pieces that you feel better express you than, you know, your casual outfits. Little by little, I think that would be another tip. Little by little, don't think you have to literally change your whole closet in one shopping trip. You know, it could take a couple years, and that's okay too.
Yeah, that's perfect. I'm actually working with a guy, a little bit of side consulting work, and he's upgrading his style. And this guy, he was wearing huge baggy pants and just hoodies all the time. That's all he ever was in, and like work boots type thing. Slowly he's transforming his style. So like you said, little by little, that's really the way to go. So I love your tip. That's just great advice. But I had a lot of fun with this survey again. I'm really loving these survey segments. I'm thinking we have to keep this up.
Yeah, definitely. It's cool to see how surveys are being answered, especially when you think the number is higher or lower based on what you experience and what you see.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to the next one. We got to dig around, keep reading, see what we can find. You ready to get into the next segment?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
And now it's time for this week's segment of The Gentleman's News. Exclusive interviews with exceptional people discussing all things gentleman, from business to fashion to lifestyle, industry leaders, authors, and more. This is The Gentleman's News.
Welcome back, everyone, to another edition of The Gentleman's News, where we talk to various people in fashion, business, and also sometimes lifestyle. But this week we have a very special guest, actually two guests on the line, Dan and Chris from Third Place Cocktails. How's it going, guys?
It's great, Richard. Thanks for having us. Thanks, Richard. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, we're glad we're able to make this happen because, you know, I saw your product online and it looks like an amazing product that every gentleman probably could use. So why don't you let us know exactly what is the Third Place Cocktail?
Yeah, sure. Just to stand here. So we started the company about 17 months ago. that we then called the Third Place Tonic. And what we did is, you know, I'd been working on a small batch tonic to be mixed with gin here in my home kitchen. And, you know, that product was never intended to be a business. It was just something that I wanted to make. I'm a gin drinker, and I really like good gin and tonic. And so I had come up with this thing and gave it out to some buddies as a Christmas gift. And the response from those guys was really enthusiastic. People really liked it. And one of those people was Chris, who's on the line now and is now my business partner. He was a dear old university pal. And after a little bit of scope and scale, we launched the Third Place Tonic about 17 months ago. And we were just blown away by the response. So it's a small batch artisanal tonic that's been made to mix specifically with high-end London Dry gin. And the response here in Canada was really just remarkable. We met our one-year sales goal after about 3 weeks, which was shocking to us.
Wow.
And then it was great. I can't stop smiling when I talk about it. It's a funny little product, you know. People check it out online. They react really strongly to it, and the branding and the packaging lets people know that this is something different than anything they've ever seen before. And it really does make a cocktail that's really different than people have experienced. So about 6 months ago, we launched our second product. It's called Ginger Rose. It mixes with small batch bourbon, and it really is another remarkable thing. There's no competitor for it in the world. There's no sort of small batch mixer to go with whiskey in the world. And the response to that has been just as strong. And then just 2 weeks ago, we launched our third product called Elderflower, which mixes with vodka. And so, you know, right now we're 17 months in, 3 products on the market, and just trying to keep up with, you know, making sure people's glasses are filled and they're smaller on the face.
Man, that sounds amazing. It sounds like you guys are really off to a hot start. And I can see why. I think the branding and the packaging is very, very strong. That alone had me wanting to try it, you know, if I can be honest with you. So great job.
Thank you.
Now, you mentioned you found this niche in the market, which I always like, you know, for entrepreneurs to take note of that. Because if you can find your own little space, I think you really can make a big impact. And it sounds like that's exactly what you decided to do. Were you calculated in branching out into other type of mixes to go with different spirits? Because it sounded like you started with gin and that might have been your favorite, but then you branched off to whiskey. Or do you have plans to continue that trend?
Yeah, it's Chris here. As Dan suggested there a moment ago, for us, you know, this business has really taken us by surprise in some ways. We started this thing as old university buddies with sort of the goal of making one product, tonic water, because that was what we both really liked to drink, was gin and tonic, when we got together. And Dan, you know, really started this thing on his kitchen stove initially as presents for friends, and the thing kind of grew from there. So I would say that we didn't have that sort of as our vision initially, but as we saw the success of the original tonic, we knew that we really had a great thing in our hands that we could branch out and try other spirits. So we have done now whiskey and vodka, and certainly we have other things up our sleeves. We'd love to try and tackle just about every spirit, sort of major spirit category, be it rum or tequila. We even played around with some things that would work well with beers or other products. So, yeah, for certainly we would love to do that and more of that in the future.
Yeah, that's an awesome idea. I can't wait to get my hands on some and try it. My personal favorite is whiskey, so my ears perked up when you guys said that. That was great.
Yeah, the response from the whiskey community was going to be a big deal for us, which isn't so. You know, we Chris and I both know a ton about gin, and we're really confident in the first product. Chris is an avid whiskey drinker and knows a lot more about whiskey than I do. But you know, whiskey drinkers are really sort of set in how they like to think about their cocktails. And so, you know, there's a reason that an old fashioned has been one of the most popular cocktails in the world for decades and decades and decades. And that's because if you do it right, people just want to stick with it. And so for us to bring something new to the market that was going to be surprising and try to get those whiskey drinkers that are used to drinking really good small batch bourbon, to get them to think a little bit differently about how they want to think about good whiskey and how they want to think about making a cocktail at home. You know, the other thing that we really take pride in this company is that both Chris and I are the kind of guys that, you know, when we travel and we go to really good bars and New York City or London, you get this opportunity to pay a bartender $25 or $30 to make you a cocktail that takes him 20 minutes to make, breaks out a smoking gun and gets you like this really remarkable smoked cocktail. And it's a beautiful thing. And every time I get the chance to do it, I do it. But we gave people the opportunity to feel that way and make those cocktails with their friends, but do it at home in a really quick and simple way. And so we focused really hard on best ingredients we could. And so in ginger rose specifically, you know, we use fresh ginger, we use rose petals, we use whole hibiscus flowers. But we wanted to bring in some of that smoky element that we like in really beautiful cocktails. And, you know, I'm a big fan of good Chinese tea, and so we found some of this amazing Lapsang Souchong tea, which is this smoked black tea from China. And using that tea gives us this really smoky element. And using lemongrass and fresh citrus and a bunch of other things that really bring out great flavors in small batch whiskey, we were able to make this little bottle of stuff that, you know, somebody at home can get up during the commercial break, run to the kitchen, 1 ounce of our product, 2 ounces of good spirits, and 2 ounces of carbonated water, and they get a cocktail that, honestly, man, we're happy to put next to some of the best cocktails in the world, some of the best cocktail bars. Like, something you can make at home with our products is going to get you right there, that same feeling. And, you know, it just blows your friends away. When someone comes over to have a drink, and you can put something together that's so different and just great.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. And while you were talking, I was thinking about that myself. The fact that you can make it at home is just such a bonus, because I'm like you guys, when I travel, I do want to try, you know, something exotic, you know, have a bartender get creative. Sometimes I tell them, just surprise me. But when I'm back at home, you're right. It's pretty basic usually, because you're afraid to, you know, I'm not a mixologist. So this product, I think, is going to solve a lot of problems for a lot of people. That's just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely our intention. As we said, we both love the idea of sitting down at a bar and having a bartender really carefully take the time to make you a cocktail that has elaborate ingredients and an elaborate process behind it. What we've done is really pulled that operation, all of that work and all of that time and energy and ingredients into our product. And so what you receive is really that same time and attention. It's just prepackaged and in a bottle and ready to go.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you a question about that. When you do the mix, is it best served over ice and shaken? Is that a preference, or do you guys provide, you know, probably basic instructions on how the mix should go?
We do, yeah. So what we've done is we've actually put a new infographic right on the side of our label that very clearly lays out for people how we think our cocktail products should be used. But all of our products at this point follow the same sort of formula. That's 1 ounce of our product, 2 ounces of spirits, and 2 ounces of carbonated water served over ice. So it's a highball style cocktail, very straight up. We don't believe in a lot of fancy garnishes. Put the time into chatting with your friends and enjoying the moment as opposed to elaborate cocktail preparation. So it's a very straightforward process, but we do really like it. Just pour it over ice, quick stir to incorporate those ingredients, and that's it.
Yeah, it's so simple. It's almost unbelievable. Let me ask you another question, though, before I forget, because the name really intrigued me. And I know I'm switching gears just a little bit away from the product, how it's made, but the name, Third Place Tonic, what is the significance of that? I would think you would want to be first place, but...
Yeah, you know, there's a few things. One of them is that if we had known this thing was going to take off the way that it has, I think we may have named it something a little bit different. We just had no idea that folks were going to love it this much and that we were going to be living with the name forever. But, you know, it's turned out to be something that we're actually really proud of. And I'll tell you the story now. And I think, so the third place is actually an old sociology term. And so the first place in sociology is where you spend most of your time. Normally, for most of us, that's your home. The second place is where you spend the second most amount of your time. For most of us schmucks, that's work. And then the third place, wherever you get together with your friends and build community. And so for some people, it's, you know, the football locker room. We had Steve on from the Social Cut in April, and, you know, he was describing a perfect third place. What have you done with his version of the barbershop? It's a real third place. I mean, that people can get together and build community and talk to one another. And for Chris and I, you know, the third place in our lives and the third place that we got to know each other as friends nearly 15 years ago was a bar, was a pub. And that's still where we get together with our friends today. You know, when you're going to get together with your friends, you do it over a cocktail, you do it over a pint of beer, you you do with some food. And so the third place cocktail company for us is just a way of saying, hey, part of what this thing is about is getting together with your buddies, having a few cocktails, telling some stories, having a bite to eat. And so that's why we need it that way. And you know, turns out we love it. People don't know, understand it when they see the bottle at first, but once they hear that story, people tend to remember it. So it's worked really well for us.
Yeah, that is very memorable. I like it. I like the story. And you mentioned something about, you know, going out, being at a bar. So if somebody does go out and they're at a bar, would they be able to get the third place tonic at any bars? Or are there establishments that can order this mix and serve it there at their bar or pub?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the bulk of our sales are through retail establishments where consumers buy the product and take it home and use it as sort of is intended in the home environment. But a huge chunk of our clients as well are bars and restaurants that want to be able to serve a very high-end cocktail to consumers quickly, and they want to be able to serve something that's very unique and very different. You know, in the case of where we live here, where our company is based in St. John's, Newfoundland, they want to be able to buy local products and support local businesses. But really, that has transcended right across the country. And so today, you can find our products at bars and restaurants throughout the country.
Wow, that's amazing. I think that's a benefit for you guys as a business to be able to sell to consumers and also, you know, business owners. That's a win-win for everybody. I think this thing could spread like wildfire, guys.
Yeah, you know, we're just trying to keep up. It's been really great. With no complaints, certainly, but it's just been a real surprise and shock to us. You know, we put this stuff out there. We're really proud of these products. We love them. We make this stuff in really small batches. We sign every single bottle by hand and put the batch number on every single bottle. When someone gets a bottle of Third Place Cocktail Company, they're getting something that Chris and I made together. We put it in the bottle with our own hand and we sign the label. We're really proud of it, and we're really proud of the way people have reacted to it. Some of the very best bars and restaurants in the world have embraced this product and put it front and center on their cocktail menus. Plainly said, hey, this is the best gin and tonic you're ever going to have. This is the best highball whiskey cocktail we've ever found. And so we're not going to change it. We're not going to play with it. We're putting it right here on our menu, front and center, just as the way Dan and Chris intended it. And we're real proud of it.
That is definitely something to be really proud of. That's an amazing story that you guys have. And a lot of times on the show, we like to promote entrepreneurship. So hats off to you guys, and you're really inspiring the audience. If you guys out there listening have a dream or have an idea, just go for it. Listen to what Dan and Chris is saying. This thing has really taken off, and it shows how much you care about it. I think that's a big reason for the success.
Yeah, I do. I mean, how much we care about the product matters, and the fact that we're such genuine good friends has made a big difference as well. I mean, Chris and I met in university, and you know, we've been dear friends ever since. And you know, nobody is pretending that starting your own business is an easy process. It isn't. But if you can do that with someone that you've got a lot of trust with and that you know as a good friend to start with, in our experience, it's made a big difference. And it also allows you to have a lot more fun. Part of the decision making for this business, you know, every time we think about doing something, one of the questions we ask ourselves is, are we going to have fun? And if the answer is no, that we're not going to have fun, well, then people that buy the product and take the product are going to know that we felt like work. We're going to understand that this isn't what we wanted to be anymore. So, you know, go for it. Do the thing you want to do. And if you can do it with a friend, all the better.
The other thing I'd add to that is you really have to put a lot of trust in the value proposition that you sort of set for yourself early on. And so for us, I think we often still struggle, but early on especially struggled with the idea that we were in love with our products. We knew that our products were good, but there's always this fear that there isn't going to be this reception that you want to have out there. For us, you know, it comes down to realizing that there are a lot of people that are searching for a product like ours. Because we were searching for it, others are too. And so trusting in that vision and that foresight early on was important, and just letting yourself have fun with that.
More great advice, guys. I really appreciate it. And thank you for coming on the show today and telling everybody about this amazing product. I hope people get a chance to try it. And with that being said, could you guys do us a favor? Let us know the website and also your social media before we wrap up and say goodbye.
Yeah, you can find us online at thethirdplacecocktails.com. It's the same handle for Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all the things. So if you Google the Third Place Cocktails, you'll find our little tonic project.
And, you know, just another word of kudos, guys. The website's awesome, and I love the videos on there. I had a chance to check them out. So everybody listening, jump online to Third Place Cocktails. This is the real deal, and we appreciate you guys' time coming on and joining us on The Life of a Gentleman. We appreciate it sincerely.
It's our pleasure. Thanks for this. Yeah, thank you so much.
Well, gentlemen, that wraps up another edition of the podcast, and we want to thank everyone so much for listening today. We had a really great episode where we talked with a new member of the show, Dejan. He talked about social media and personal branding, so we'd like to welcome him to the show. Also, special thanks to Deandra Marie. We had another segment of Survey Says talking about buying new clothes, and we hope you learned some information there as well. Last but certainly not least, we want to extend a very special thank you to our guests, Dan and Chris from Third Place Cocktails. Everyone, please support them and try them out if you are interested in their service. Jump on their website. They have a really cool video that explains a lot about their company. As always, we want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in every week, and we hope we can bring you some great new content again next week. Also, as a special gift for listening, I'd like to invite you to try the Harrison Blake subscription and use a coupon code SEASON, S-E-A-S-O-N. That will give you $15 off your first month subscription with one necktie plus five additional accessories this month for the month of May. So you can try that out if you'd like. Also, would you rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast? It would really help us to get more exposure and bring this content to other people who have the same interest as you. And if you would, tell a friend about the show if you think they'd appreciate it as well. As always, thank you guys, and until next time, take care.
These messages are brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel, specializing in fashion accessories such as ties and lapel pins. Join the Harrison Blake Monthly Subscription Club. Each month, they deliver one necktie plus four additional matching accessories for only $25. This is the easy way to build or enhance your wardrobe. To learn more and subscribe, visit HarrisonBlakeApparel.com. These messages are also brought to you by Deandra Marie, a young, talented female host who conducts interviews, event coverage, and produces the Life of a Gentleman podcast. For inquiries on how to be featured, please visit www.itsdeandramarie.com.